Spirit and who He is and what He does and His ministries to us and through us. And so we've been in that mode for a while. And so I'm going to shift gears today as we get into Acts chapter 3. And this Acts chapter 3, I'm going to read all 26 verses. I'm not going to have them up on the screen because that takes up too much PowerPoint. I don't have time to say, I'm just kidding. But I hope you're bringing your Bibles to church or your whatever app you use on your phone, because I want you to get used to reading the Word for yourself. And then I have other scriptures, of course, that I'm going to give to you. And I have 4 points with this message today that I felt the Lord put on my heart to share with us today. And what Acts chapter 3 records, it's the first miracle in the New Testament church. Now, it's not the first miracle in Scripture, but it's the first miracle in the New Testament church after the Holy Spirit, after Pentecost, but it's not the last. Amen? And so in Acts chapter 3, I want you to start with me in verse 1. It says, "One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts." So this guy had been lame from birth and crippled, and so he was being laid at the courts, at the, you know, the front of the church, basically, to beg people as they came into the temple for prayer when they had their worship services. Verse 3 says, "When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and then Peter said, 'Look at us.' So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And then Peter said," and most of you, if you've been in church any length of time, have heard this scripture, "'Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God." I bet you would too, if you'd been like that since birth. "When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him." Then in verse 11, this is where Peter begins to preach. It says, "While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade, or Solomon's Porch. When Peter saw this, he said to them, 'Men of Israel,'" he sees a congregation being gathered, "he said, 'Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead.'" Amen. "We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you all can see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets." And I think that time is running out, guys. He's about to restore all things. Verse 22 says, "For Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people. Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days, and you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, 'Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed.' And when God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways." And everybody said, amen. As I was studying this and I was asking the Holy Spirit, and I've been kind of just reading, you know, I'll read it and I'll just tell you kind of how, and I'll read it and then I do a lot of driving, and so then I'll just meditate on that scripture and what I read. And this is what I felt like what the Holy Spirit showed me through this passage, through Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 26. I was like, okay, Holy Spirit, because I want this not only just to study this and get all the history and all this of the New Testament church, I want this to be life applicable today. What do we need to get out of this today? And so this is what I felt the Holy Spirit say to me. He said, Mark, Peter and John were settled in their hearts in what they believed. If you read that, there was no doubt, no unbelief, no if God can do this. They were settled in their hearts that God can do this. And it happened. Okay? My question to all of us this morning is this. Are you settled in what you believe? Are you really settled in what you believe? And here's the reason why I'm asking us all this. And I'm asking myself this too, guys. The Bible says in these last days, even the very elect can be deceived. And we are living in a day and hour that is the most confusing, deceptive, and unbelieving time on this planet right now. That's the hour we're living in right now. To the point, and I know this is, it's comical when I'm going to say this, but this is how confusing and how deceptive and unbelieving it is on this planet right now. There are people that don't even know if they're male or female. Yeah. That's how deceptive and confusing it is right now. And so my question is, are you settled in what you believe? I'm settled that I'm a male and I'm 52 years old. Amen. And I'm not going to become a female. I'm settled in that. But I'm using this ludicrous example, guys, but it's become on the political landscape. It's ridiculous. It is just a spit in the face of God, our Creator, is what it is. And so I'm going to give you four things today that I know that I know this list is not the all in all list, but I just felt like these four come out of what we looked at today. And these are four things that I know that I know that I know that you need to be settled in. And here's the first one. The first one is that you need to be settled in your heart that God is good. And I know that I share that. It's kind of like a little Christian cliche. It's more than a Christian cliche to me. It's a revelation that God is good and God is good all the time. And I'm going to give you, on each one of these points, I'm going to give you several scriptures to go with them, okay? There's the Acts 3, verses 1 through 26, the first miracle in the New Testament church, but not the last. Settle in your heart that God is good is point number one. Here's the first scripture. Psalms 19, verse 68 says, you are good and do good. Talking about God. God is good and He does good. He never does bad. He never does evil. God is good and He does good. Okay? Isaiah 30, verse 18 says, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you, therefore He will rise up to show you compassion. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Most of you know this scripture. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Is everybody starting to believe that God's good? And He's a good God all the time, and He wants to do good to His children. Acts 10, verse 38 says, and you, talking about Jesus, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him. Jesus is good. God is good. They're good all the time. Here's another scripture that most of you know. Romans 8, 28, and we know that in all things, there's things going on in your world right now that I know that you think, and they are, they're bad, they're evil, because we have an enemy. And just like God uses people, the enemy can use people that are around us in our circles of influence. I just don't want to be a Christian that's being used by the enemy. Amen? And so, but Romans 8, 28 says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. So God, it may not be good right now, but He's working it for the good behind the scenes. It's all happening for the good. I have been through things in my life, guys, and I know y'all have too. I could have you stand up and give testimonies in this house today that it wasn't good. It was not good. It was not good. And it left me because the enemy's very crafty at this. He's been doing it for ages. He left me thinking that God was not good. And he's very good at doing that. That's his job, to deceive, to lie, to steal, kill, and destroy. And here's the deal. I've shared my story, my testimony. Y'all know our story and our testimony. Our son is in heaven today. Can't wait to see him. And it's going to be soon. We're going to have that. And just this last Father's Day, grief, and if you've been through grief, it comes in waves, and, in different times and different settings. And for this Father's Day, I just had one of those moments where I was missing my boy, and reliving, thinking back in 1998 when that all happened. And I'm telling you, the enemy came in like an onslaught, because that was when I knew that God had called me into the ministry. And then this happened, and I'm like, God, you're not good. I was believing it. And I was starting to believe it hook, line, and sinker. And God got through to me, and it'd take me all day to tell you how, but he got through to me and said, no, Mark, I'm good, and Jaden's okay. And I've had to rely on these scriptures, and I know when I show them to you, y'all have seen them many a times. But this is it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I don't know why that happened. Sometimes it's okay to ask God questions, but then sometimes too many questions dissipate faith. Yeah. Too many questions. I'm not saying, that you don't ask God questions, because ask and you shall receive, okay? You ask for wisdom and all these things. I've asked for wisdom about this. I've asked God. I've never got an answer. Other than this, Mark, just trust me. And I'm going to tell you what, guys. And here's the deal. In that hospital room, I was believing Acts 3, that he's going to raise up from that bed, my little boy. It didn't happen. And sometimes I think it takes more faith when it doesn't happen to walk that out with God for the rest of your life. And so, is that going to keep me from believing for people's healing or anything? No way, Jose. I was up here praying with people, and I'm going to get militant, and I'm going to get in the devil's face, and we're going to believe together for it. Amen? We're going to believe it. But it's up to him. It's not up to me. But God did tell me to exercise my faith, and I'm going to keep doing it. And have I seen people healed? Yes. Just that one didn't happen. Why? I don't know. You're hearing a pastor, a man of God, say, I don't know, but I got faith in him. I got my trust in him. So there's going to be times you're going to go through things where you're not going to get that why question answered, and you're going to just have to trust in God and in your heart and lean not on your own understanding, because this is the enemy's playground. This is his battleground, I should say. And so just that's where you have to just say, God, I don't understand this, but I have faith in you. And I trust you that you're working this all out for the good. I'm going to just tell you just something. Jade and I were driving around the other day, and we were talking. And I looked at her, and I said, honey, can you imagine you and I, or just anybody, that in your belief system, that you don't have the hope of heaven? We would just fall apart. That's what keeps me sane. Yes. Amen? Because of Jesus, we have that hope within us, that blessed hope. And so I am so thankful for that blessed hope today. And it takes faith when you're walking through things that don't happen like you think God ought to do it. How many of you ever bossed God around and said, God, you know what? If you do it like this, that would really work out. Yeah, and he'll say to you, yeah, you're not me. And I see the big picture. And the day of Father's Day, when we pulled up to the church, we had been praying, and about Stirwaltz, I started weeping all the way to church, because just having one of those waves of grief came over me. We get to the church, and I looked at Jay, and I said, you know what, honey, what I felt like the Holy Spirit just shared with me is like, if we could see past, we just see through this veil, we can't even see, it says through a glass dimly, darkly or whatever. We don't see the other side. We don't see what's going on. But if we could see Jaden right now, there is absolutely no way on planet Earth we'd ever want him back here. And it's like what David said. He can't come to me, but I can go to him. And that's our plan. Amen? And we're sticking to it. All right. Here's number two. Settle in your heart that nothing is impossible for God. Even in the midst of all what I just said right there, you still need to settle in your heart that nothing is impossible with God. Jeremiah 32, verse 17 says, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." If you ever get in a situation where you think something is too hard for God, just step outside at night and look up at the stars. I've done that several times, and I'll look up and I'll just think about Abraham, that he looked up there and God spoke to him and said, "Your descendants are going to be like the stars in heaven." And I don't know how many times Jay and I have been outside around our fire pit, and we'll look up at the stars and we'll say, "God, can you just, how can you look up at that and not believe that there's a creator, that there's a God? All the constellations, everything that's just happening up there. I mean, it's just amazing when you look, all of creation screams about there's a creator." Luke 1, verse 37 says, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." That's a great scripture. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Mark 9, verses 22 through 23, it says, the dad coming to Jesus when he had his boy that was demon-possessed. He says, "It's often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And Jesus said, if you can, it was kind of like, come on, man. You know, "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes. Nothing is impossible with God." In John chapter 14 through John chapter 16, I know we've been talking a lot about those passages of Scripture because that's when Jesus introduced us to the Holy Spirit, the disciples and us, before he went to the cross. And in that dialogue in John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus tells his disciples, I think it's like five times he tells them to pray in his name, all right? If Jesus says this once, it's pretty important, right? If he says it twice, it's very important. If he says it three, four, and five times, it's like, guys, I want you to get this. Like, I want you to start praying in my name. John 14, verse 13, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." You know what? When I hear people pray, whether it's publicly or privately, I want them to hear them pray in Jesus' name. And the reason why is because I really don't know what God they're talking to until they say that. And everybody said, amen. There's a whole lot of other gods out there that people are praying to. And you need to be careful, make sure they're praying in the name of Jesus. John 15, 16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." John 15, verse 16. There it is, my name. I'm just reading a few of these scriptures. John 16, verses 23 through 24. "In that day you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." Nothing is impossible with God. But you have to ask in the name of Jesus. There's no health crisis. There's no financial crisis. There is no crisis bigger than Christ. Okay? If you're walking in... How many of you in here are walking, if you'd be, and just say, you know what, Pastor Mark, I'm walking through a fire right now. Anybody in here? Okay, several of you. This is for you. If you're walking through the fire right now, I want you to remember these three things. Number one, nothing's impossible with God, but here's just three other things I want to give to you under this one. Number one, pay attention to godly wisdom, to the people that God puts around you, all right? God does speak through other people around you. You want God's voice to be the loudest in your life right now, okay? So you got to learn how to quiet the chatter and starve the anxiety that's going on around you, okay? So pay attention to godly wisdom through His Word, through prayer, what the Holy Spirit's telling you. Also through wise counsel, not everybody's counsel, okay? You want to make sure it's wise counsel, people that's been walking with the Lord for a while, okay? That they understand some things, that they even know you, They've been around you. They understand what's going on in your life. Okay? Here's number two. Don't play out every worst-case scenario and get freaked out by fear. Yes. And everybody said, how many of you do that? I've done that. What if this happens? God, what if this happens? Mark, and God's like, Mark, what if I show up and none of that happens? Right? And I'm like, well, I never thought about that. I'm playing out all the worst-case scenarios in my mind. I'm telling you, our mind is the battleground of the enemy. You got to renew that mind according to the Word of God. Don't get freaked out by fear. Just keep walking in ways that honor God. Stay faithful. Some days it's just, you may not have this great rhema word from God. It's just get up and stay faithful. Get up and stay faithful. Get up and stay faithful. And then as that faithfulness, as you keep doing that and you keep honoring God with your life, then the answer comes and you get through that fire. Just stay faithful. Here's number three. God is more powerful than the fire. I don't care what you're going through. God's more powerful than that. Some of you are in here battling health issues and different things that are going on, financial issues, family issues, relationship issues. God's more powerful than any of that. I want to tell you something about God. I heard a prophetic word this week that just really resonated with my spirit, and it just, what went over me was this prophet of God God said this, I can do in one 24-hour period what you can't do in a lifetime. I want you to think, God can do in 1 minute what you can't do in a lifetime. And so, God's more powerful than any fire that you're going through. God has authority over it all. And while he will allow people to make choices that hurt, okay, because the enemy uses people around you, he is not absent or powerless, and in his time, he will rescue and refine you. This will not destroy you. So God is faithful even through the fires of life. Just stay faithful. Here's number three. Settle in your hearts that everything was purchased at the cross. Because the enemy will try to convince you that there was no triumph at the cross, and the Bible says otherwise. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus purchased everything for us. Salvation, healing, deliverance, everything. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. By his stripes, is what one translation says, you have been healed. He didn't take those 39 stripes upon his back for nothing. They were for your healing. Believe that. Colossians 1, I'm going to read this. I love this, how it was. Colossians 1, verses 20 through 22, but I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible. It says, not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood that poured down from the cross. You yourselves are a case study of what he does. At one time, you all had your backs turned to God, thinking rebellious thoughts of him, giving him trouble every chance you got. But now, by giving himself completely at the cross, actually dying for you, Christ brought you over to God's side and put your lives together, whole and holy in his presence. I love that. You yourselves are a case study of what he does and how he can take something broken and put it all back together again. And everybody said, amen. Here's my last point, okay? And this is a big one. Settle in your hearts that you're significant to God. Settle in your hearts that you're significant to God. I have a feeling, this is where the Lord took me to the man that was lame. It says that he laid at the temple gate every day and just begged for money just to survive. I don't think he thought he was very significant to God, because a lot of people passed him up every time. You talk about rejection every day, laying at the temple gate. Some people would throw change at him, pay attention to him. That day, Peter and John paid attention to him and gave him way more than some money. Let him know that he was significant to God, and he was healed. The Bible says he leaped and praised God, jumped around, made a fool of himself in the temple, made a fool of himself at church, because of what God was doing in his life. And I love it. Settle in your heart that you are significant to God. Because you are. I feel like, I don't know if it's somebody under the sound of my voice or watching online or on radio, because this goes out on radio next Sunday. But when I was preparing this, I felt like somebody has entertained the thought of suicide. I want to tell you today, you are significant to God. Don't believe that lie from the pit of hell. And I'm going to read you Psalms 139, verses 13 through 16. It says, "For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb." And the reason why I'm reading this is because I really thought about this guy that was laying at the gate, because the Bible says he was like this from birth. And I guarantee you he questioned God. God, why was I even born this way? Well, it was because for that moment right then, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." And everybody said, the reason why I felt the Holy Spirit lead me to share this today is because I know most of you know what's happened on June the 24th, 2022, was Roe versus Wade was overturned. And I'm going to share something with you. I looked all this information up, okay? According to the World Health Organization, every year in the world, there are an estimated 40 to 50 million abortions. I'm not talking about miscarriages, okay? And here, I'm going to say this before I go any further. If you've had an abortion, there is forgiveness. God forgives you, okay? Jada used to work at the Pregnancy Care Center in Elk City, and she did a lot of reading and studying about women that went through this, and there's not a woman alive that it doesn't. Because you're going against the grain of God Almighty, the creator of the earth. There's not a woman alive that doesn't have after effects of that. Even the people that perform them. And Jada was telling me about all this, the things that she's read and studied about that when she had volunteered her time at the Pregnancy Care Center. Okay, there's 40 to 50 million abortions. I'm going to tell you what, heaven is full of babies. This corresponds to approximately 125,000 abortions per day. 3,000 per day in the United States of America. I said all that to say this. Now, I want you to imagine being upset that just one of these babies will live with the overturning of Roe versus Wade on June 24th, 2022. And there are people that are upset that got overturned. How do I know that? Because I shared from my pastor, who I listen to a lot, Pastor Jimmy Evans, a post that he made about Roe versus Wade being overturned. I shared it. All of a sudden, I got rid of a bunch of friends, of so-called friends. I told Jade, I was like, honey, it was just that one post I shared, and all of a sudden, I can accept new friend requests now. So come be my friend, right? Now, I'm going to share this testimony, and I'm just going to share this with you because I think you need, and I'm going to try to, if I can find it, I'm going to share it on our church page. But James Robison, who is the Life Today, you see him on TV, he oversees Life International. A lot of people don't know his story, his backstory. I mean, he's been a minister for years, an evangelist. But Robison's mother, her name was Myra Wadinger. She was 40 years old at the time that she gave birth to him. And Robison has revealed that he was the product of rape. An alcoholic man raped his mother. And that his mother, and this is what happened, I don't know what was going on in her life, I don't know the whole backstory to this, but she was at a point in her life where she could not care for a child. Okay, but she did not abort. And what she did was, this mother did this. She said she placed an ad in the Houston newspaper for, and this is what she asked for. She wanted a Christian couple to take care of him. Lo and behold, a pastor named H.D. Hale, a local area pastor, and his wife saw the ad, and they answered it, and they took him in, and they raised him, after which he became a born-again Christian at the age of 14. And now he's leading this worldwide ministry. Do you not think that God had his hand in that? He did. Now, I want to... I am settled on this. I'm pro-life. Okay? And I'm settled on that life begins at conception. When the sperm, let me get scientific. When the sperm meets the egg, life, God, creation, God the Creator. Now I'm going to blow your mind. I even believe it happens even before that. And it's this scripture right here, Jeremiah 1:5. I'm getting goosebumps, man. Because this is the scripture the Lord gave me before my son was even born. And then he died when he passed away at 18 months. And if you know the rest of that scripture, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Okay? And so here's Daddy when he was born. When Jaden was born, I was like, I got a prophet. God, I got a big responsibility. I'm raising a prophet. And he's going to go all over the world. It didn't happen like I thought. But God told me, but Mark, I want you to know. And I've questioned God about it. It's like, God, you told me this scripture, and you said he's going to be a prophet. And he said, Mark, I knew Jaden before I formed you in the, before I formed him in the womb. I sent him. Yeah, he didn't live 85, 90 years like you want everybody to live. He lived for 18 months, but he did in 18 months what I called him to do. And it was, I'll never forget, there was a friend of mine that I went to high school with, and he came into the room. I saw grown men and grown women come into that hospital room, and my little boy's laying there, and I saw a friend of mine from high school come into the room who I didn't know if he really knew the Lord or not, and I just saw him just begin to weep. And I know it's a bit, there's a bait, but there was just an anointing in that room that I saw. I had, there her family, there are family and friends that came to know Jesus during that time. And he fulfilled his calling. And he never even spoke a word. So it's settled in my heart that even life begins even before the womb. And we have no right to end a life. And everybody said... Because everyone is significant to God. And I pray to God that that's settled in your heart. All those need to be settled in your heart. Are there others? Yeah, I know you can probably, as you go out today, you're going to tell me some more that we need to have settled. And I understand that. There's all kinds of things that we need to have settled in our heart. I'm just sharing a few that I felt the Lord shared to me through Acts chapter 3. You are significant to God. And so is the person next to you. And when you're having a fight with a family member, God loves them too. And you have to remind yourself sometimes, oh, I don't right now, God. Well, God does. And he'll help you get through those things. Everybody's significant to God. And everybody said, did everybody learn something today? Amen. I want everyone to bow your heads in here and close your eyes. And I want to lead you in a prayer today. I do this every Sunday. And it's the reason why is because I do not know your spiritual condition, your salvation, and I want you to know that you are saved before you ever leave here today, and those that are listening online as well, and those that will be listening to this on the radio, because the Bible makes it very clear in Romans chapter 10 and makes it very simple as well that all we have to do is we have to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Then it says, whosoever shall call upon him shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. And you don't have to get your act all cleaned up before you come to Jesus. I promise you, he'll start doing that after you confess his name. The Holy Spirit will begin to work in your life and minister to you, and he does a fantastic job. That's his ministry. But all he needs you to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, submit your life to him, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer, and even if you are saved and you know the Lord, I want you to repeat this prayer with him. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. If that's the first time you've prayed that prayer, your next step of obedience is following the Lord in water baptism. And we can do that next Sunday. Just let me know and we can get that taken care of. And guys, God is so good. All right. And I want you to, we need to be like Peter and John and have these things settled in our hearts. Okay. And be settled in what you believe, because we are living in a day and hour where there is a lot of deception and a lot of confusion, and God is not a deceiving God, and God is not the author of confusion. That's the enemy, what he is doing. But we as believers, we have to be settled in what we believe. And there's going to be times where we're going to have, like this situation, there's times we have to stand up for the truth. Okay? All right, I want everybody to stand up in here this morning. Jada, will you come up here, and we're going to speak a blessing over you. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss the service, but if you need any kind of special prayer, we're here to pray for you afterwards, okay? And if you need to stay and have some special prayer, we want to do that with you, okay? And I'm going to speak this blessing over you, and this is out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. I'm speaking this over you, your marriage, your family, your children, over your businesses, over your farms, your ranches. And this is what the blessing is this. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. I want you to hug somebody's neck, fist bump, high five there around you, and hug them and tell them this: I am settled. I am settled. Amen. What?